All right, guys, amen. Listen, we are in week five of a 9-week series called Abide, and the whole point of this series is that the Word of God literally tells us we can do nothing without Jesus, that we need to remain in Jesus. We got to learn how to do this right, and so we've kind of talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. What happens if we remain in a relationship with Jesus Christ? And the Bible promises that if we'll do that, that we'll live the kind of lives that we long for. Most of us want to have an impact on the world. We want to have an impact on eternity. We want to live lives that matter, where we spend our time here on earth storing up treasures in heaven. But the only way to do that is to get really good at remaining in a consistent relationship with Jesus. So we've talked over the last 5 weeks about how different a relationship with Jesus is than Christian ritual or routine, right? And we tend to think of church in a routine kind of fashion. I get up, if I do this and do that, then everything is good. And that's not necessarily a relationship with the Lord. And so that's really what we're drilling down and focusing on. We said there's four keys to that relationship, right? Consistent prayer, consistent study. We gotta know what Jesus wants us to do. Consistent obedience, then doing what he wants us to do. And then that fourth one was kind of the art of this Christian living, is learning to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. Learning to go where he tells us to go. Learning to experience how he empowers us and gifts us, right? So that we can be people that bear fruit. So we're doing all that. So this morning we are doing week five, gift five, which is the spiritual gift of kindness. Kindness. Oh, by the way, last week was patience. How'd that go? Anybody have a week? In anybody else's child, remind them that last week was on patience. Anybody? Yep. Mine did too. We're driving. He's like, Dad, remember patience. That's what you talked about. So I was like, thanks for that. I'm not going to call him out because he's, you know, the one back there running the live stream right now, Caleb Russell. Being patient. Hey, pray with me, and then we'll jump in. Father, thanks for loving us. Thanks for allowing us to gather. Jesus, we just want you to be glorified. Glorified in us. I think that's the heart of the whole series, is without you, we're nothing. We need you just moving and working in our lives. We need you pouring in and oozing out. We need you bringing about change deep within us. And in those around us, we want to make a difference. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. You are our personal teacher and our guide. You are also the teacher of the church. Would you come and teach us about this Jesus? Teach us how to abide in him. Teach us what this kindness is. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So guys, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to tell you, we'll be in Ephesians 2. We're going to read out of that passage together. We're actually in about 7 different passages this morning, but we will read out of Ephesians 2. Also, we are going to ask you to kind of unabashedly take notes. So here's a QR code, and you can scan that bad boy. If you don't have the inserts, we're going to ask you to take notes, fill in the blank, give you a few seconds to do that if you haven't already. Our guys back there, I wasn't paying attention, so I didn't throw that up earlier. So there it is. So we'll let you scan that. And I just want to say, so this whole study is really founded in two primary verses of Scripture. So the first of those is John 15:5, right? John 15:5, Jesus says this. He says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. The one who remains in me, that's the word, abide. The one who abides in me and I in him produces much fruit. But then he warns, but you can do nothing without me. Not you can do a little bit without me. Not you could be a little less productive. He's like, no, you can't produce anything spiritual without me. No spiritual fruit without Jesus. So we start there. The second verse is found in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. And there's two more after that. You got to wait and come back to see what those last two are. This morning we are talking about that fifth fruit, the fruit of kindness. So three things I want to share with you this morning as we talk about kindness. And here is the first, guys. I want you to know that Jesus is the perfect picture of the kindness of God on full display. All right? Jesus is the perfect picture of the kindness of God on full display. I don't know about you, but I am a visual learner. Anybody else? Any other visual learners out there? I am a visual learner. So if you tell me things like,
Well, the Greek word for kindness is I wrote it down, is Christose. Christotes. There you go. The Greek word is Christotes. I can't even say it. That's what it is. If I said that's the Greek word is Christotes, and if I said that that word in Greek literally meant kindness or here's benignity, if you look it up, it says kindness or benignity. I'm like, where's the definition for that, right? I had to Google that sucker, and it lists what it means, benignity. It means the quality of being kind or gentle. And I got to be honest with you, I did all that this week, and I was like, kindness, that's what it means, right? And so I can spend a lot of time doing word study, and that doesn't have the same impact on me. But listen, if you would give me a visual of what kindness looks like, if you would paint a picture of kindness before me, then man, I would keep that with me forever. Like I wouldn't lose track of that. That's how I learn. And if you're like me, I've got really good news, because there is a place that you can look, a person that you can look to see what kindness looks like, and that person is Jesus. Man, if you want to see what this fruit of kindness looks like, if you want to see it in its entirety, look no further than the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Read the Gospels, man. Read them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just read them. Pour over them. Time and time again. Every interaction he has with people. The way that he comes to lost people, right? People that are on the fringes. People that the religious people look down upon. And yet, here's Jesus saying, no, you're not too dirty for me. No, you're not too far gone for me. No, you're not an outcast, man. I've come here to be with you. I've come here to call you to myself, to call you to come rest in me, all you that are heavy burdened with the religious junk that people have put on you. No, cast that aside and come and sit with me. And we look at Jesus and we look at his life and we look at his interactions, and then we look at him in the garden and on the cross, and we go, man, something is different about this version of God. Maybe, just maybe, God really does and can care for me if that's how he cares for others, right? The Apostle Paul writes in Titus 3, 4, and 5, he says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. I want to break that down. It says, Paul writes, Jesus is two things. Ready? He is the kindness of God, and he is the love of God. That's what he is. It says, when the kindness of God and the love of God, and then it uses that word appeared. That word appeared, that's the word from which we get our word epiphany. You know what an epiphany is? It's a sudden revelation. Y'all, listen, that's what Jesus is to us. Forever we wondered, man, is God, is he just up there? Is he far away? Is he removed? Is he mad at me? I ever felt like that? Man, God's so perfect. I'm such a scumbag. Like, you kind of think of yourself like, man, I couldn't be good enough for God. God could never use me. God doesn't understand me. God, like we have these thoughts about God, and then we see Jesus. And we're like, wait, hold on, that's God? You mean God's not just keeping this list and checking it off and be like, sinner, 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 right? He's not just keeping track of everything wrong I've done, but he knows it all. And in knowing it all, he still chooses to come to me. And then he comes to me and he's like, you come and hang out with me. I want to be with you. This is astounding. This is astounding. It's an epiphany. This is what God is. Oh, that's what kindness looks like. That God would come to people that had rebelled and say, I love you so much. Let me die in your place. Let me pay for your sin. Whoa. That's God? God's not just keeping track of everything wrong I've ever done. God doesn't just want to punish me. God doesn't just want to send me to an eternity in hell. But rather, he pays the price himself because he loves me that much. That's kindness, right? In full display. I said this a few weeks ago. All of the Old Testament points to Jesus, and all the New Testament has to be interpreted through him. Jesus is how we see the kindness of God on full display. Again, the Apostle Paul writes, I'm in Ephesians 2, And we read from this just 2 weeks ago. I want to read it again, Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. It's just talking about what happened in us, what Jesus has done for us. Ephesians 2, 1, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the disobedient." It says, "We all too previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, he made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our trespasses. Says, you are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." I'll put verse 7 on the screen. "So that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches," can't measure them, "immeasurable riches of his grace," ready, "through his kindness to us in Christ." Through his kindness to us in Christ. Whew. That's huge. "So that he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through us and his kindness to us in Christ." Anybody collect anything in the house? Anybody? Any collectors? Yep. Okay. Okay. Cool. Anybody collect? Like, most people would think it's weird stuff. Like, you collect? I don't know. I knew somebody that collected spoons. Not big spoons. Not regular spoons. You know, the little tiny spoons. Like, they had them from every place. They had little spoons. Like, I'm not saying that's weird. That's fine. If you're a spoon collector, Dawn, it's totally normal. Just rando picked one, like, yeah, right there, front aisle. That's perfect. I think spoons are fine. Like, if you, if you collect cat litters from different places in the world, that might be strange. Baseball cards, anybody, baseball, football cards, any of those people, right? Few, nobody? Comic books. How many people collect cars? I want you to be my friend. I need one. If you got one, nice one, just let me drive on the weekends, right? Yeah, collect cars. That's great. So the thing is, when we collect things, we tend to kind of put them in a, you know, the good stuff, we put in like we put it on display somewhere. So like a jersey that's signed, it's hung up, it's on display. That ball that's signed, it's in a protective box. It's somewhere where people can see it. We display those things for others to see. And we display them, and for us, when we look at them, we don't just see a jersey or a ball. We see all the cool things that person ever did. You follow me? Y'all, when the kindness of God came to earth, he called all people to himself, and he said, "It doesn't matter what you have done. It matters what I'm going to do." And then he lived the perfect life that they couldn't, and he took their sin, he carried it. It was more than the weight of the world, so much so that when he prayed about it, he was sweating drops of blood. And then he carries that to Golgotha, and he's nailed to a cross. And there upon the cross, the kindness of God was on full display. And every Sunday when you come and you sing songs, that display is meant to be before you. God loves you. God is for you. No matter how you may feel about yourself, this God understands you, he knows you, and in spite of you, he pursues you. He is kind. He is kind. Listen, in Jesus, we see the full display of the kindness of God. Jesus is the perfect picture of the kindness of God on full display. Second thing I want you to see this morning is that kindness, God's kindness, is meant to lead us to repentance and into relationship. It's meant to lead us to repentance and into relationship. That's what the kindness of God is for, right? It has a purpose. Again, the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, says, "Do you think any one of you who judges those who do such things yet do the same that you'll escape God's judgment? Or do you despise the riches of his kindness, restraint, and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead to repentance?" God's kindness has a purpose. It has a purpose. It's meant to lead us to repentance. So when we see that kindness of God, when we see the love of God on display, full display for us in the life of Jesus, that's meant to stir something within us. It's meant to do something within us. It's meant to make us reconsider, to make us think. I wonder if that's how God treats them, if he would treat me the same way. If God calls people that are overburdened to himself, can I go to him? If Jesus wants to meet with sinners, if I called out to him, would he want to meet with me? Like that's the kindness of God is meant to stir those thoughts within us. Think about the shock of people in the Bible, right? His kindness is meant to make us rethink everything. So I was thinking this week, think about the Samaritan woman. I mean, look, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus intentionally says, no, we must go through Samaria, and oh, by the way, I'm going to go at this time of day. The disciples are like, man, we've got to get you something to eat. And Jesus like, no, I'm staying here, and because he has an appointment with the Samaritan woman. And she is overwhelmed. Like she's in awe. Like, why would you, a Jewish man, want to meet with me? She knows herself. Man, she knows who she is. She knows what she's done. And here is God in the flesh seeking her out in spite of it. He's going, hey, man, if you would ask me, I would give you living water. I would give you eternal life. And she's like, but I don't even, I can't even go talk to my husband. He's like, that's right. You don't have a husband. You've had five. And the guy you're living with now is not your husband, but listen to me. You can have eternal life if you believe in me. And listen, this woman, this interaction, y'all, and don't read those words, don't hear those words and think Jesus is so kind in this moment. This woman is a castaway. She's coming to the well in the heat of the day because she's got a reputation. And here's God in the flesh. Here's the kindness of God on full display, making an appointment to meet with the worst woman in town. And he says, man, you want eternal life? Man, you want living water? It changes the way she thinks about everything. Suddenly she's going, wait, so you're telling me God could care about me? She starts running out to the people that have condemned her, going, I don't care what you think about me, but you need to come meet him. There is a man here. I think he's the Messiah. He's told me everything about myself. And this whole town, all of Samaria is going to come. And man, Jesus is going to teach, and so many people are going to come to faith and trust in him. Outcasts coming to faith and trust in Jesus. Think about Zacchaeus. Like there's basically, I mean, every time Jesus walks into town, it seems like it's a parade. I mean, people are running, and they just want to see Zacchaeus. Just, like, he's climbing up a tree, and of all the people there, right? Man, there are people there. There are some religious folks there. And yet, here is the sinner of sinners. Here's the tax collector. Here's the robber among them. Right? That's the way that tax collecting works. So if you were a tax collector and you were Jewish, you taxed your own people. You had to give Rome a certain amount, and you could keep whatever amount you taxed above. That's how you made your living. And so Zacchaeus is rich, y'all. He has abused his own people. And in the crowd, that who should Jesus stop and talk to? The worst? Hey, Zacchaeus. What's up, man? Why don't you come down? I'm going to come to your house and eat. And y'all, Zacchaeus, his whole thinking in that moment has changed. The way he thought about himself, the way he thought about God, the way he thought about other people. He's like, today, Jesus, I'll give it all back. Man, I'm going to pay back more than I owe. Today, if you want to eat with me today, I'm in. Let's go. The kindness of God on full display is meant to lead us to repentance. Like that's the purpose of it. It's meant to make us rethink everything. I'm going to read an excerpt from one of my favorite online resources. People always ask me, Pastor, like, where do you study? So I'm going to give you two of my favorites. One is Blue Letter Bible. So if you want to know what the words are in the original language, all that, it's a free resource, Blue Letter Bible. It's awesome. The other one, you guys, I love you. Y'all email me a lot of questions, and that's totally fine, and I try to get with your questions as soon as I can. I'm just going to tell you a little cheat code. The pastor actually doesn't know everything. We think that's a good teaching, that if you don't have the answer to everything, you just say, I don't know, but let me get back with you. And then we go, and we dig in, and we study. And so one of my favorite resources to answer some of your tough questions, it's called gotquestions.org. Gotquestions.org. They have a bazillion questions answered for you. Really, really solid, good theology. And so here's what they say about repentance. I love this excerpt. It says, repentance involves recognizing that you have thought wrongly in the past and determining to think rightly in the future. The repentant person has second thoughts about the mindset he formerly embraced. There's a change of disposition and a new way of thinking about God, about sin, about holiness, and about doing God's will. Right? The Samaritan woman experiences the kindness of God, and it totally changes the way that she thinks about God and herself and her neighbors. Zacchaeus has this experience with the kindness of God, and it changes him the way that he thought about life. Oh man, what have I been doing? I've been robbing my brothers and sisters. I've got to pay them back. If God wants a relationship with me, if he wants one with me, if he'll do that with me, I'm yours, God. Have it all. I repent, man. It changed the way that he thought. And if you're like me, sometimes it's a little overwhelming. Right? Because nobody knows us as well as we know ourselves. And sometimes when you come face to face with the love and the kindness of God and you know who you are, sometimes it's hard to accept. Anybody else? Just me? Sometimes you think about this Jesus who invites people, and man, it speaks to my being. Right? When Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. When the Bible, I'm reading the Gospels, and it's like, and they call Jesus a friend of sinners, and they're like, that's my friend, right? And there's this part of me that wants that so bad, but there's equally a part of me that feels all of this guilt and shame because of who I am. Anybody else? I hope this unlocks something for you. I believe the two are connected. So it says kindness leads to repentance. But then there's this verse in 2 Corinthians 7. Paul describes it this way. He says, godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. But worldly grief produces death. So I believe just what's happening there is that the kindness of God stirs my affections and makes me think differently, but then there's this part of me that still feels so guilty, and I think that guilt can be from God, and I think what happens, right, so there's the kindness of God, and I want it so bad, and then there's the way I feel, and here's the deal, ultimately, what's happening in me when I feel that way, here's the expression of it, what I really want is to change. Right? When you see how good God is and how much he loves you, you want to change. And the Bible says that godly grief, that sometimes that the feeling of, that's meant to make us want to change. To change our mind, to change our thinking. And ultimately, it leads to salvation. That's a relationship with Jesus. That's what it's there for. So listen, I don't know. I don't know where you are on the spectrum. All right? Maybe you hear about the kindness of God and you're like, yeah, I want that. And you can just run right into that. Maybe you hear about the kindness of God and you're like, I'm not good enough for that. You're my people. And I would say to you, that feeling you feel is, listen, Satan will twist it. He takes godly guilt and tries to turn it into shame. And that's how you know if it's the devil. If the devil is constantly talking down to you, you're nothing, you'll never be, you can't be, God can't use you. That's devil talk. God's talk is more like the Samaritan woman at the well. No, that's who you've been. But let me tell you who you can be. You guys follow me? And so when you feel that guilt, guilt is from God. It's meant to put within us a desire to change. We say, God, man, if you can do anything with a person like me, here I am. It's meant to lead to that change of life, and he does it all for us. It is so, so sweet, y'all. It's so, so sweet. So, third thing I want to share with you. Second was God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance, into relationship. I've got about 10 minutes to wrap up. Third thing I want to share with you is that if we remain in Jesus, we can be clothed in the kindness of God. If we remain in Jesus, we can be clothed in the kindness of God. And that's the whole series. The whole series is about remaining. The whole series is about abiding. The whole series is about relationship. I told you in week zero, which you got to give me zero because I got 9 weeks of fruit. Okay, so week zero, our beginning week, our intro week, I said everything comes back to this 1 week when I gave you the four keys to abiding. So you got to keep coming back to this one singular sermon because it's all about remaining in him. And then we're just going to talk about the fruit that should be evident in our lives if we do, what that stuff means. So here's what I'm saying. If we remain in Jesus, we can be clothed in the kindness of God. Kindness of God on display means we're going to look like Jesus, all right? But here's what I want to say to you this morning. This is a choice we have to make daily. Love you. You've got to choose daily. You know when the Bible says that you're supposed to get dressed in the armor of God daily? Same thing when the Apostle Paul will write, so I tell you, put off the old things and put on the new things. We've got to make a choice. Say, I want people to see Jesus in me. Today I'm going to choose to share the kindness that God has had with me with other people. That's a choice I'm going to make today. Today I'm going to choose to put on Jesus. Today I'm going to choose to remain in him. Today I'm going to choose to pray to him throughout the day. Today I'm going to invite him into all my problems. I'm going to invite him into all my conversations. Today I'm going to seek to take what I studied in his word and put it into practice. I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to be a hearer of the word today, but I'm going to do what it says today. I'm going to do this. I choose to do it today. And there's something in that choice, y'all, that allows us to be clothed with this kindness thing. Again, Paul writes this, Colossians 3, 12 through 13. He says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Boy, that sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. I have a choice. A choice is to put on what Jesus has done for me so that it might flow through me into the lives of others. And y'all, if you don't, you don't get it. That's how it works. So we're in week 5 now. So you've had a lot. We've done love and joy and peace. And this week, patience. So let's just talk about patience. How many of you had a day this week where you really focused on abiding in Jesus? Maybe you listened to worship music. You prayed throughout the day. Did anybody have one of those days? You had a really good day in it. And the patience was kind of there for the most part, right? It was better than normal. Did anybody have a better than normal patience day? Come on. Okay, a few. All right. Now, same few. Did you have a day that you didn't do that? Right? A day you're like, I didn't read, I didn't pray, I wasn't listening to worship music, I wasn't focused. And then how was that one in comparison to the other one? It's pretty rough, huh? You can say words in church. Okay, I know there are kids in here. You can say, it stunk. You can say that. You can say that. It's pretty bad. There's a massive difference when we make this choice to get dressed, to put on Jesus. And Paul said, kindness, this fruit, it's a choice you have to make every day. Go back to John 15, 5. We can do nothing unless we remain in him. It's a choice. Do we want to be fruitful or not? So what do we do with all that? There's a few things. Guys, number one, and I just keep coming back to it because it's so, so important. Number one is we have to receive Jesus. We can't save ourselves. The Bible's real clear in this, that salvation comes from God. It's all about what Christ has done for us. We're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace through faith. But that through faith, there's something there, there's a tension there, something you have to do. And that's it. You have to believe. Belief is not a work, but it's this conscious decision of man, I feel the kindness of God. Right? I feel it. And I don't want to be who I was. I don't want to keep just being the outcast. I don't want to be far away from God. I don't want to be the person that I've been. But I see the kindness of God, and I sense that God is saying, "Here I am. I want to be with you." And so we go, "Yeah, God, I want that." Right? I'm tired of me. I want you. And that something happens. There's a spiritual transaction that happens in the heavenly records where the perfect nature of Jesus is given unto us and our sin is taken away from us in Him, and we never see it again, ever. And we become children of God, and it has to happen. And I've said week after week after week, I can talk to you till I am blue in the face about spiritual fruit, but if you are not born of the Spirit, none of this applies to you. And it is 100% possible to go to church your whole life and not be born again. Because religion is really attractive. I talk to a lot of you, and I hear it every week. "Oh, I've been a believer my whole life." No, you haven't. No, you've been a sinner your whole life. Maybe you grew up in a home where they taught you about Jesus, but there's no way from birth you were a believer. At what point in your life did you confess your sin unto Jesus and say, "Save me"? Right? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When did that happen? And listen, you don't have to know the moment or the hour. Like some of you, God bless you, you're raised in such good Christian homes, right? I mean, from the time you were like 3, they're reading Bible stories with you and praying with you. And so maybe it's just not an exact moment. You're like, "I don't know." It's like what you're trying to express is, man, I grew up in a home where Jesus was always proclaimed, and sometime as a child that happened to me. And maybe it was over like maybe it was several years. Maybe you recommitted your life at something, and that's fine. But that's a far cry from somebody that says, "I grew up in church. I've gone to church my whole life." This series is meant for you to examine your life. That's the second point. And go, is there spiritual fruit? If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, let today be the day. And I don't know, maybe you walk through the doors and you're like, "But he couldn't do anything with me." Oh yeah, he can. Man, if he can work in somebody's life like mine, man, he can do work in you. I promise you, if he invites the woman at the well to have eternal life, man, he'll invite you. If he'll take somebody like Zacchaeus and say, "Dude, I want a fellowship with you," he wants to have that same relationship with you. But you've got to be born again. It's not some weird, crazy thing. It's a spiritual transaction where we say, "Jesus, I need you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin and take control. Be in control of me." Churchy jargon is Lord and Savior, but it's literally saying, "Jesus, save me from my sin. You lived the perfect life I couldn't. You died the death that I deserve. You conquered death and rose again, and you say that anyone that believes in you can have eternal life and be a child of God forever. I want that," right? I want that. So do that today. In a moment, we'll have a word of prayer, and I'll have a moment for you to be able to do that. If you want to talk to somebody about that transaction after church, we'll be around for that too. Second thing I want to challenge you to do, guys, is examine your life. Whole series, again, do I have this fruit? If it's not evident, one of two things is going on. Number one, either you're not a Christian, you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, you can't bear spiritual fruit without being born of the Spirit, we just talked about that, or two, you're a believer, but you're not remaining in Jesus. You're trying to do churchy stuff on your own, and it's not working. And listen, trying to be a Christian without Christ is exhausting. It's so tiring. It is so tiring. You need Jesus. And so I just examine, figure out what's going on. If it's, "Hey, I'm not remaining like I should," get on it. Get on it, okay? Make that choice, which is the third thing, guys, is clothe yourself in kindness. Make that choice to abide this week. Make that choice. Listen, I didn't ask the questions, but I'll ask them now. Are you as kind to the people around you as God has been unto you? If God's given you a spouse, are you as kind to that person as God has been unto you? If he's blessed you with children, are you as kind to those little sinful suckers is God is to you. Remember, they're half you and half that wife you married. She's probably the good part. Are you as kind to the people you work with as God is to you? And if the answer is no, choose to put on the kindness of Jesus. It is a daily choice. All of this fruit, y'all, Max Lucado has a book called When God Whispers Your Name. I'm not just trying to, I just love Lucado. I like how he puts flesh on it. It's one of the first Christian books I ever read, and there's a whole chapter, it's called The Choice. It talks about making a daily choice to put on the fruit of the Spirit. It is so good. If you can Google it or check it out, it is, man, you could read that every morning. It's so good. Choose to abide in Jesus this week. Choose to be kind to those around you, that they might see, that they might know. Let me pray for us. Father, thanks for loving us. Thanks for allowing us to gather here this morning. And thank you for your word, which is true. God, if there's anyone here that has never received Jesus, there's anyone here that's still trying to do all this stuff on their own, they're going through all these rituals and they're exhausted, would you call them to yourself? Would they literally receive your invitation of grace, that it is by your grace that you save us, not by anything that we do? And I pray this morning that they would just call out, Jesus, if you'll have me, would you come into my life? And Jesus, I know you'll honor that prayer. So where they are, let them in their heart just pray that prayer right now. Jesus, if you'll have me, come into my life. God, honor that. Lord, for the rest of us, help us abide in you. Help us make that daily choice to remain in you through prayer and study and worship so that we can bear the fruit of kindness to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.